Okay, we're going to go ahead and get started. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the September masterclass call with SearchEngineNews.com. You guys are in for a treat. This month's session is titled Building Brand and Community with Visual Content. The point of the session is going to be to talk about building brands and community by using creative visual content. We're going to talk about some case studies, some stats, and you're going to have a lot of fun because our speaker today, I tell you, I've known him for a while. He's always puts on a great presentation. We've spoken at Search Fest, which what is now Engage now, Matt.
Yep.
Glad that we're the last Search Fest. We've spoken at PubCon, State of Search, others. And Matt Sultala is a frequent search industry speaker. I'm sure you got that from the fact that we have spoken. He basically is the evangelist for Avalanche Media, which is located in kind of the foothills of the kind of the foot of the Wasatch Mountain range there in Utah. He has captivated audiences all over the world. He travels extensively. He's got world-class marketing knowledge on, you know, that again, he shared with some of the biggest digital marketing audiences in the world. Mentioned that he's the president and co-founder of Avalanche Media, which is again in Utah. And Matt, did you create that abdominal snowman? What is it? It's called Eddie the Yeti. Who's actually behind that?
I think one of our designers said they created it after me or in likeness of me. I inspired him. I don't know.
Yes. And Matt is known for his lush beard, folks. So you should just envision that. You take a look at his Skype picture. Matt's beard has spawned its own Twitter account, which has racking up the followers as we speak. I'll make sure that I paste that over for you. But it's fantastic. And so we're really honored to have Matt present with us today. So Matt, on behalf of myself and everyone here at Search Engine News, thanks for coming in and take it away.
All right, Casey, thank you. Thanks for having me. And I just need to put one little, one little side note in there with that, the beard Twitter account comment. I have no access over that. I don't control it. I know who does control it, but such a great friend of mine that controls
it. Isn't he? Yes.
Yes. So, all right. I'm excited to do this. If I start coughing a little bit, I apologize in advance. I am luckily on the tail end of something nasty that I had over this last week, and I'm glad this wasn't a couple days ago because I would have had to reschedule because it was bad. So I still get some residual coughing every once in a while. So I apologize in advance for that if it annoys anybody, which it would annoy me. So I imagine it would annoy you. But I am looking forward to talking about this. We do a lot of visual content creation with Avalanche Media. It's one of our core competencies, if you will. And again, all kinds of visuals. A lot of times when people think of, visual content, they might first go to infographics or think about stuff like that. But we pretty much do all kinds of creative visual content, whether it be infographics, motion graphics, videos, interactive videos, white papers, sell sheets, pitch decks, and PowerPoints. We do a lot of visuals that are created that end up being used offline. A lot of our visuals end up on billboards that you're driving down the roads, for example. A lot of the visuals end up in the back of, like Home Depot. We did an infographic for them with procedures and stuff, and it ended up in a warehouse. And anyway, just stuff like that. So again, lots of things that can be done with visuals, but just giving you a little bit more of our background that, with that. But jumping right into it, definitely want to help you understand the purpose of this presentation and all the slides and everything with the visual content is to help you understand how to, or at least get a better idea of how to grow your brand, whether you're a mom and pop or whether you're already well established, help give you some ideas to better establish that brand and build a community with the use of a lot of these visuals that we have out there. And again, I'm going to show you some slides that have stats on why visuals are so important and how we process copy and this and that. But I'm just going to tell you, first of all, most of us are visual learners. And when I come across something that is just too much to read, like I'll just gloss over it or I'll skip through it. I won't even look at it. But if you're giving me that same information in a visual form that I can consume it really quickly, I'm going to spend some time on it. And that's the point here. And I think that's what we have to do. Now, that's not saying that I don't read a lot of, you know, the really long form content, because I do, but I have to have a reason. Your other content has to pull me in, and I have to have that trust in you. And a lot of the visual side of it does that for me. I joke that that's just the way it is nowadays. You know, with my kids, you know, I joke about that show, the Disney Up, how squirrel, you know, that's how they are. We're always looking for, we're always getting distracted. And I had to laugh the other day because one of my kids was really annoyed because we were watching something that was live, but they couldn't fast forward it was the Olympics. That's what it was. We were watching them live and they got really annoyed because they couldn't fast forward the commercials. And that's just how it is nowadays. But anyway, so just giving you that background and helping you understand that it is all that we're talking about. It's helping you understand how to do this for a community and to build up your brand. And I'm going to be presenting on this at PubCon. Casey mentioned PubCon, and the topic of this is the topic of that one of the presentations is go small to go big. Oftentimes we think with a lot of this, we have to, you know, we're a small mom and pop. We only have a small budget, $200 a month or whatever it might be for marketing. And we just can't do it. We just can't afford that $2,000 video or motion graphic or infographic or whatever it might be. And hopefully with what you're going to get today is helping you understand how to, you know, let's start with the stuff that we can do. Let's have the wins that we can have. Let's start small and then grow it to where we can get to that point. And so the reason that the focus is on brands is because you guys are all in this industry. You know just as well as I do that, you know, Google loves brands. They give love to the brands. That's just the way that it is. And so if you have not established yourself or, you know, whatever size business it is, if you haven't done a really good job of establishing it, as a known brand, you know, you're going to always get outranked by other people that have done better than you. And so again, this is why we want to build this community. This is why we want to have this good branding focus. And I laugh at a lot of people that come to me and say, hey, you know, someone that can do a really cheap logo for me, I don't have much money to spend. And I'm just like, well, you know, just stop right there, because you're going to fail. You know, there's a big process, the whole branding and creating it anyway, but that's another topic. Let's move on. So this is where a lot of, you know, what we do with community building, what we do with branding, its life force is the social, okay? Whether it be the content that we're putting out there on Twitter, you know, hopefully you guys are out there tweeting what I'm talking about, you know, helping my reputation. No, anyway, just kidding. I don't care about that. But that's the point. I'm a brand. I'm a personal brand. Our company is a brand. We do stuff like this because we want people to talk about us. We need to be social. When I share something awesome with you guys, my point in sharing it is because I want people to get out there and tell the world on it. And if I didn't have those vessels, you know, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Reddit, whatever it might be, it's just not going to get pushed out there. Okay. And that's what we need. And so, the community is something that's a little bit more difficult, I guess, if you will, to establish. I feel like at Avalanche Media, we have a pretty good brand, but it's definitely not like a community like Moz, for example. And again, it's just one of, I'm just, you know, thinking about just different communities that I love in this industry. Moz would be one of them. The SEER community would be another one. The AimClear community would be another one. There was one other one I was thinking of. Can't think it off the top of my head. But anyway, those to me, you know, those guys have done a really good job over the years establishing as a community. And Avalanche, we're growing. We're at about, you know, close to 40 employees now, and we're just finally starting to get where we're putting out more content on our own blog. You know, we're practicing what we preach. But that's where it's at. Like, there needs to be that community. People have to have reasons. And we do have somewhat of a following, whether it's because of silly things like people following my beard or me. You know, I might have the community with me, or, you know, we put out some pretty awesome infographics, and I'm sure some of you have heard of that, you know, you follow for reasons like that. But again, I'm talking about really establishing that community where when you put something out, and I'm going to show you some examples of this that I think are awesome coming up, but when you're really establishing that community, that they end up producing most of your content for you, okay? They end up helping you guide where you go with your content direction. They help, you know, that's the ultimate goal, and I think that's what's awesome. So with all that, this is why we're talking about what we are today with the visual content. We need this type of content to, you know, so it's shareable, okay? Whether you're creating something that, you know, is sparking a debate and getting a conversation going, or it's something that's super informative, or it's something that's trending, a hot topic, or whatever it might be, we need to create this visual content, because that's what's going to get the mentions. That's what's going to get the people following us. They're going to be like, hey, I really like that stuff that this group is putting out. I might as well go ahead and follow them, because they're probably going to put more stuff like this out, okay? So again, my point here, and this was a very old picture from a couple years ago when we got one of the fastest award for one of the fastest growing companies, but it's not me, okay? I might have a lot of awesome ideas, but it's basically this team that we've put together. And that's, you know, again, you may be a one or two person team at this point, but the goal is to grow and get bigger, and you need to get everyone involved, okay? They're going to have other amazing ideas. And so, but again, the visual content has definitely made Avalanche Media what it is today. You know, we do more than just that, but, you know, most places, most conversations talk around the type of content, the visual content that we're putting out. And speaking of that type of content, let's talk about this for a second. I want to kind of share with you how we practice what we preach, and also, you know, take a trip down memory lane. So at Search Fest, because Casey had mentioned it, over 4 years ago, we had first launched this graphic, and I had just put it in there and used it as an example. I actually hadn't even put it on online or anything. I hadn't even thought that it would be something that would do what it did, because, I mean, at the time there was plenty of other, you know, visual stuff that was going around. For example, like the donuts explaining social media. Like, you know, I thought that was awesome. But I created this because we were working with a lot of clients that, and again, this is 4 years ago, and there's, you know, things have gotten a little bit better as social networks have gotten more refined, but especially 4, 5, 6 years ago, there was still a lot of confusion as to, you know, what am I supposed to use Foursquare for, or should I even be using Google Plus, or, you know, what's the difference between Yelp and TripAdvisor, or this or that, or, you know, how should I be using LinkedIn versus Facebook, or should I be using LinkedIn in my business? And so we created this graphic because we had these questions internally with all the clients coming in that were asking us this all the time. And so in order to better educate them and have some fun with it and show them the kind of visuals that we could do, we created this for that purpose. And I launched it, and I showed it as an example at Search Fest, and it just absolutely blew up. And you know, we did put it online eventually, and it has, you know, I think I share some of the numbers here, but there we go. But I mean, over the years, it's had hundreds of thousands of shares, thousands of plus links could be attributed to it, millions of views. And again, this is over, you know, the last time that I had checked, and it was posted here and got so many, it was posted there and got so many. And we actually have a dollar amount that can be attributed to it, because we work with agents or different agencies and places that come into us and say, hey, I really love that graphic that you put out, that social media, the one explaining social media. I love what you guys do. I looked at your site because of it, and I want to sign up. Okay. And so anyway, you know, I just thought that would be important to share, because again, besides, you know, that's not the goal with what we're talking about today, is helping you build that brand and establishing it and with the community. But if it does other things like this for you, then that's just a bonus. All right. So again, talking more about the statistics of this. So And again, this is the reason I want to talk about, I'm spending a little bit of time on this social media, is because if you have a piece of content that's done really well, or if you have something, you know, that you can relate to this, hopefully this inspires you or gives you other ideas of ways that you can do more with it. And so, this was translated into 5 different languages. We actually had a couple different government agencies, believe it or not, that reached out to us and asked if they can, if they could have rights to it, or if they could buy rights and have it put in their language and they can use it, whether it be, you know, for government purposes, in the universities, education books. In fact, I just signed another permission slip, as long as they give us attribution, for another book that we're going to be in. You know, we've used it for lots of product inspiration. There has been so many industry presentations that this has been on. It's funny, like I won't even be at a conference and I'll see all these like mentions coming in, and, you know, we'll be getting inquiries and people wanting to work with us. And I'll be like, I wasn't even anywhere today. And then I'll see like someone had put it in there. And so again, you know, you're creating this piece of content, this visual piece of content, and it's going to be used in so many different ways than you even knew or that you can imagine. And so what we did, you know, with the success of the Social Meowdia one is we created a video for it, of course, because, you know, we wanted to have just an example. We didn't do anything with it. We just wanted to have it as, hey, look, you know, this is different stuff that you can do with a very successful piece of content. And so, I mean, the video's done all right, but we can use it as an example. We did create, you know, all the dog people that saw the cat one, they're like, well, we want a dog version of it. So we created the dog one. I have to tell you, it's not done as well as the cat one. So all you cat people out there, fist bump each other. Or if you're a dog lover and say, hey, that's not right, then you know what? Feel free to take that graphic and make it more popular for me. You do my work for me. But anyway, the reason that we put that one together is because we did something for charity. We put the cats and the dogs head to head, and we put the cat lovers and the dog lovers head to head, and we raised about $10,000 for needs and humane society and different stuff. And I can't remember where it all went, but basically we put this contest out there, and it was paws versus claws. And, you know, who do you vote for? And whoever voted for, there was a certain charity that got the bulk of the money. And anyway, it went for a good cause, but again, lots of mentions, and it's just something that we had spun off. And so then someone was like, hey, you should do a redneck version of that. And so we're stupid and we're like, oh, sure. Okay, let's do it. And, you know, it was funny. It got shared a lot. It got us, you know, several links, definitely a lot more value in it than what we put into it. And so didn't do what the cat one did, but again, this is just giving you ideas. You know, some stuff you're going to throw out there and it's going to work, and some stuff is not. But we've created ebooks on it. You know, we've expanded. So you have this simple graphic that explains the difference in social media, but then, you know, we created ebook versions of it because you can do more. You can ask for phone numbers. You can ask for emails. You know, with the other, you know, the infographic, you're not going to get as much of that, you know, leads. You know, you're not going to get as much. A lot of that is just people looking, laughing, and moving on, or sharing it, writing an article about it or something. But when you have the ebook version of it, people want to download it, and so they're giving you their information, and then you can call them up and you can have real conversations with them and possibly have get them as business. Then we created a PowerPoint version of it, and then that also helped us create this periodic table of cats. We needed an example when we first started doing interactive graphics. We're like, well, you know, we need an example to show people the kind of stuff that we're doing. And so we're like, hey, let's do a periodic table of internet cats, an interactive one. And so if you just Google periodic table of internet cats, you're going to see, you know, this that we created. And again, how does this kind of stuff benefit? I think I get into this in some slides, but every time when people mention us and they talk about the infographic that Avalanche Media or the interactive graphic, and I'm putting more emphasis on the keywords, you know, they're associating it with us, and then we're found for those keywords. And so, and then what this did, because that Social Meowdia, the first one, did so well, we launched version 2. And I got to tell you, it hasn't done as good as the first one. It's definitely got a lot of shares. And so guys, feel free to tweet it out, share it, help me in this. But it just shows you like what I did with this one, though, that did get a lot more play. And we've gotten more business, I think, because of it. I gave it away at a conference in a poster. I made a poster version of it and gave it to everyone that was in the audience. And the amount of people that shared a picture of where they put it in their office or wherever, there was probably like 20 mentions I got in different agency offices. And so what's awesome for me is now every one of those agencies, it's another internet marketing firm. Anyone that walks in there or sees that sees our logo, Avalanche Media. And so we are all up in them. Anyway, just funny. So yes, I love talking about cats. And, you know, I did put this deck together originally when Bernie Sanders was still in it. I'm sorry for you, you know, Bernie Sanders fans. I think we're all losing right now, but let's not talk about politics. That's going to get us all down. So again, with kind of what I was getting into, what do cats have to do with a digital marketing agency? And I alluded to this, but I, you know, other than just like, I could look at this GIF forever. It's just funny, hilarious, but there's a strategy behind it. Honestly, there is a solid purpose. And I mentioned it and I kind of alluded to it, but let's look at this and let's get more specific down into it. So people started sharing this graphic everywhere. Okay. And when they did, they would use our brand as references. They would link to us. They would, share, you know, they would embed the graphic, or they would use our actual brand name and link right to us. They would use those words like infographic and interactive graphic. Or here's an example of one that was on I think this was Adweek. But so what this does when all these places share it and they're using these words, infographic or Avalanche Media or marketing or social media or interactive graphic or any of these type of words, again, hopefully with me sharing all this information that I am, you know, I'm not just saying how awesome we are because of this graphic. I'm hoping you're seeing the bigger picture in that this is why you can create this kind of stuff. And so, you know, don't think that you're limited to just, you know, if you're a mattress company that you just have to figure out a funny way to sell beds, to only talk about beds or whatever. You know, there's many different ways to go about it, and that's the goal, and that's kind of what I'm hoping you're getting from this. And so, but again, every time it's shared, our logo's used, our brand's used, even like I was saying, the offline examples. You know, there may be someone that walks through that office of another person, you know, that put up this, and there might be someone else that sees that graphic and then knows that Avalanche Media created it, and then they may remember to call us. Or they may end up working for us one day. I don't know. So if you do a quick Google search for images for it, you'll see that it's everywhere. I mean, it is shared and shared and shared. It even has its own Google Suggest. Like, there's a suggestion for Meowdia, which is funny. But, yeah, almost 2,000 different results that come up for this. And that's just the one version of it. And so, again, all of this came back to us, okay, whether it's, you know, whether people are writing stories or posts about it, or they're linking to us, mentioning in the social media, whatever, it all came back to Avalanche Media. And again, when you're thinking about how can I do this for myself and how does this relate to me, when you're creating the type of content, or if you have awesome content out there that you can repurpose, or, you know, when you're thinking of these ideas, hopefully this gives you like the bigger picture of how to think about it. So again, just showing you this example, you know, when I'm talking about other people using it in conferences, this is the kind of stuff that they're doing. Okay. Now, again, everyone's examples are going to be a little bit different depending on what your business is. But you get the point here. So, again, just more examples of showing you how it was indeed a great win for our brand. Okay. And that's the purpose of this with branding. So, all right. It was great for helping us start with that community. I was talking about, you know, building up this community. Anytime I go anywhere and I speak at any conference, almost it's a guarantee that someone, not just someone, multiple people are going to come up and talk to me about how awesome that graphic was, or they loved it, or do we have something new planned with cats, or whatever it might be. But the point is, we've created a fan, they follow us, and that's the start of how you build that community. And so here's the science of why we love visuals. I've given you the common sense of why we love visuals, but then there's lots of those numbers, and there's different studies, and then there's those people that debate studies. And, you know, I give these numbers just because these are just numbers that we find when you talk about visuals and how our brain processes it. But let me just ask you this. Like, if you guys are going to have – if you have two versions of basically the same information, if you have, you know, like a text version showing you like the most searched for keywords in a certain state versus a map showing you those keywords and it's more interactive and visual, which are you going to go to? I mean, you're going to go to the visual one every side or every time. And so common sense, you know, without all the science or the numbers or whatever, we just know that this is how we are these days. We process this much faster, but then there's also other stuff that when you have, when you put your posts out there with visuals, how, like right here, posts with visuals get 94% more page visits and engagement than those without. Okay, so there's numbers like this that can be thrown out there all the time. Bottom line, you know, because we don't have to go into all of it, include images with almost anything that you put out there. You know, whether in social media when you're posting, articles that you're putting out there, you know, even in your boring content that you think is okay just having text in there. A lot of times when you have some kind of visual in there, it's going to make it much more consumable for people, and it's going to do a better job for you. So, all right. So that is the question. So it's fun talking about all this, but how do you actually go about doing it? So let's talk about that. It is important to understand what you're creating, okay? You do have to have some sort of a strategy, okay? When I put that social meowty together, I didn't know that it was going to be the viral hit that it was, okay? But when I say viral, it's relative, because did it get 40 million views on YouTube? Did it get, you know, no, it didn't, okay? And so, again, there's a lot of that's subjective, but the reason I've created this next slide is to kind of help you understand how at Avalanche Media we break this down, okay? We break it down into hero content. This is more of your large scale, you know, the bigger type content, okay? This would be that viral video. This would be that GoPro video that you saw, or the Turkish Airlines video that went viral, you know, or the Nordotrack, you know, the dancing synchronization on treadmill type, you know, that's your hero content. Then you have your hub content. And this is where you would call it your more regularly scheduled content. It's not great content that's going to go viral that everyone on the internet's going to share, but within your niche, it's pretty awesome. Okay. And people are going to want to share it. And that's the thing too. Like when I was saying that, you know, the whole viral thing is relative, because you know what, if you have a niche of only 1,000 people that are in your industry, but you're the one providing that information and they're the ones that are following you, and you put that content out there and they use you and they buy your product, then it doesn't matter. You know, own your own niche, own your own, you know, your own industry. And I'm okay with that. Then you have the hygiene content. This is just the quick whim off the cusp, trending, you know, I think of some of the examples of this lately, you know, the Olympics, Michael Phelps made that face, or Usain Bolt was looking over and they made a bunch of memes about him, and, you know, just stuff like that, off the cusp type. Let's just, you know, you got to have stuff like that out there. It's fun. Make fun of yourself. Anyway, so hopefully that gives you more of an idea. And again, you can plan for this kind of stuff. You could say, okay, we're going to try to do one large scale, huge content piece a month. Within that month, we're going to have 20 pieces of just regularly scheduled content. And we know that within that month, there's probably going to be 7 or 8 things that we can come up with that'll be funny. We can either create memes or something else out of. Okay. And that's how you should go about it. So let's talk about what motivates people to share. With journalists, you know, and again, I'm going to talk about influencer marketing here in a bit, but when you can work directly with these guys, you don't have, you know, outreach becomes so much easier. It's not even really outreach. It's collaboration. I'm working with this group and helping them create the visual that goes along with a story that they were already writing. Okay. But they do love data-driven content. Infographics work well when they are data-driven and they're not just like a picture graphic or whatever, you know, don't call them an infographic. Here's some examples. So like for evergreen content, this is a piece that we put out back in like 2008, I think it was, maybe even before 2007 or 8. And this was before people were even calling them infographics. I never did call them that. I just, you know, created a piece of content that I thought kicked ass. And so, but we put this one out there. And if you'll notice at the very end, the 2008, we threw in the Xbox controller because, and we did that very strategically because we knew that it would get a lot of controversy. And it did, because you had the guitar purists that were like, this poster is awesome, this graphic is awesome, and I want it on a shirt. Can you print it off for me? Can you do this for that? But I just want it to end at 1994. They're like, I hate that you put that in there. But then you have the gamers that loved it. They're like, oh, that's so true. That's where it has evolved to. And they loved it. And so like when it was shared on social media back then, you know, there's this conversation that went back and forth and it got people debating and why this group loved it, why this group hated it. But we created that conversation and the brand got lots of mentions that we did it for. I still see this thing shared on occasion. Creating content that people care about. Okay. Again, this is an obvious one, but, you know, a lot of stuff that we care about may not necessarily be what your actual consumers care about. And so pay attention to things like your analytics, pay attention to, the questions that come in on your website, your forms that are filled out. Create the kind of content that you know that your group of people is going to care about. And that's like one of the biggest things I can give you. Also, content that has good research and data. So if you're one of those companies that has information that's proprietary, anytime that we work with a group that has their own proprietary data that we can put on an infographic, it does a million times better, okay? Maybe a million times better is exaggerating, but it does a lot better than when we have to go out and find the most latest data for certain topics or whatever. But when you have that own data internally, you're going to be able to create something that is incredible. And then you have that good research and data to back it up, and you put that on top of amazing visuals, it's going to get shared all day long. Trending themes and content. Man, when I put this together, I did not think that the Donald Trump would be the presidential nomination for the Republican Party. I had no idea. Sorry, that's a side note. But I just looked at this graphic and it reminded me when I put it on there. But so again, it's fine to jump on those trending themes. Okay, take advantage of them. Okay, you know, we do stuff like that all the time with creating memes that things that have happened that we just jump on and just try to get shared and people mention us, or sometimes it's funny. And anyway, so trending themes, real-time content. Again, you know, there's a lot of programming that may go involved in, or that may be involved to a graphic like this, but if you have it put up right to a system or whatever, that's really awesome and it gives people reasons to keep coming back, but you put real-time content in there and it keeps people up to date. Okay. And again, you always want that reason to come back. But so that's another kind of content example. And then of course I mentioned map content earlier, but anytime that you could do anything that makes it so easy for me to consume, And I'm not saying consume alcohol. I know that, you know, when Casey hears me, when Casey sees a visual of beer and I, and the word consume is used, you know, I don't want him to get too excited.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to wipe down my screen. Give me a minute.
But you put, you know, some kind of visual like this together and, you know, it does really well. It does a lot better, you know, and the thing is, you know, you try to be as accurate as possible. Sometimes the data, the best data that you can find might be a little wrong. And so like, you know, you'll get people that are calling you out. And if you do, just say, okay, you know, hey, we're glad you pointed that out. We did the best that we could to research, update the graphic and move on. You know, it's the ones that have the problems are the ones that ignore it and bury it and try to act like the haters don't exist. And so anyway, the point here is, you know, this is the type of content that, that people love consuming. Right now, people love consuming financial content. It's just what we're seeing. And I don't know if it's because of the elections. And so if there's anything that you have that you can start creating content that's more financial related, do it. I mean, I find for the most part, it always does pretty well, but it just seems to really be doing well lately. Maybe the economy, the presidential elections, I don't know. But so now that you've created this amazing content, what should you do? So do you just post and pray? Yeah, that's what we do. Post and pray, right? I hope you're all laughing right now. Because no. Just like Chewy says right here, you don't just post and pray. I could just watch this GIF all day. GIF? Anyway, so here's you have to have a strategy for making it work, folks. All right? So outreach wins. The ridiculous ice, you know, bucket challenge. It went viral for a reason, okay? But you have to be involved, okay? And I use, you know, it's kind of funny that Apple, you know, there's, I don't, you know, would they be going in a different direction? Would they be doing better if Steve Jobs were here, still here? I kind of think so. But, you know, they do their best, but it's just looking at this image reminded me of that because they just launched their new iPhone 7. Anyway, the point here is, you know, be involved on the front end of this process and don't just like send it off to a designer and say, hey, create me something funny about this topic or whatever it might be. You know, you need to be storyboarding that. You need to be a part of the ideation. You need to be a part of the whole process and get everybody signed off on it. You know, it's better if you have a team, but even if you don't have a team, you have a group of friends that you're around. You have a group of peers. You can send it off to people just for validation or, hey, what do you think about this? Like, I remember when Avalanche Media used to be Dream Systems Media and it was only a 3-man crew, you know, I would send it to all my good buds in the industry and say, hey, I'm thinking about doing this. What do you think? And then they would be more than happy and they would give me feedback or they'd say, Matt, you're smoking crack. Don't do that. So again, it doesn't matter your size. Just, you know, get people involved. When you're reaching out and you're trying to get that link or you're trying to get someone to work with you, you know, keep your pitch short and to the point. Don't try to trick people. People hate being tricked, you know. You'll never believe what happens next. I mean, I hate those. So. The influencer integration, of course, Dr. Dre is a genius when it comes to that, I think, because, well, he just is. I mean, Beats, I think, they came out that they're like $17 worth of goods, and they sell them for like $200, and they're crappy compared to a lot that I've tried. And anyway, but he's just done stuff like that. He's put himself everywhere. You know, he's got that influence. And again, I'm giving you these big scale ones, but let's talk about something that's a little bit more smaller scale. So let's say that you're a smaller company that's just selling clothing out of your house, like you're a Jane or a LuLaRoe or whatever it is. You know what? Find those little influencers in your area. It's not that hard. You know, we have there's a little girl in our area. Well, I say little girl, but she's like a 16-year-old. She's got like hundreds of thousands of followers, and local businesses will pay her or give her a dress to wear or a swimsuit or something to put on her Instagram. And she gets thousands and thousands of comments, and she could sell out a line of someone's clothing locally in an hour, you know, just by her putting a picture of it on her Instagram account. Now, you got to find those kind of local influencers. You know, is she a billionaire like Dr. Dre? Is she influencing people like Dr. Dre? No, but she's an influencer in her own right, especially locally and with her group. And so, you know, just find the right type of influencers. You don't have to, you know, and a lot of times with her, you're not paying like crazy money. A lot of times you're just giving someone a product. And so, like, let's say that dress cost you $20 or the swimsuit cost you $20 and you're selling it for $200. You know, it cost you $20, maybe give her a little bit more. I don't know what you do, but the ROI is there, and that's the point. Anyway, customers, they trust influencers, and we don't have to go through the numbers here because I want to leave some time open for Q&A if there is any questions. But so you can go back through, and I'm sure, Casey, that this is going to be this presentation will be shared with everyone here. They have access to this. It's being recorded, so they can go back and look at this. But, you know, when we're doing this, when we're working with influencers, we're finding specific influencers within certain industries, like YouTube, for example. A lot of these are the big YouTubers. Now, let's say I'm in an industry. There may be an industry that the influencer for a certain space only has 8,000 followers. But you know what? When he does a video, he ranks number one for everything related to any kind of keyword in my niche. And so I'm going to work with that guy that only has 8,000 subscribers on YouTube, you know, instead of a million, because that's the guy that's influencing people that are in my industry. There's people following him for a reason. So that's who you want to find, and that's who you want to approach. And so I mentioned the Nordotrack case study. We worked with this group, and the purpose behind this video was Nordotrack said, all right, treadmills have a, you know, you think a treadmill, it doesn't make you happy. Casey, when you think of a treadmill, does it make you happy?
No, we have a love-hate relationship. That's okay. About as close as I could get.
Exactly. So, so they said they want to change that when people think of treadmills. And so we worked with the influencers and got the world's largest treadmill dance going on. 4 million views, 30,000, and these are old stats, so probably a lot more by now. I haven't updated it. I apologize. But they attributed to over 3 million in sales just from this one video. And that wasn't even the point of this. The point of this was to help with better branding and community, which is the purpose of this presentation. Okay. You guys probably remember this Turkish Airlines one that recently went down. Number one YouTube ad of all time. Again, found the right influencers, Kobe versus Messi, the selfie shootout. And again, I know that these are big names and you're thinking, okay, well, how am I ever going to get a Kobe or a Messi? Well, find the Kobe or the Messi in your industry. That's the point. So build these relationships, okay? Follow them, you know? I was able to, you know, I look at our industry and one of my great buds is Andy Bill, probably one of the founding fathers, if you will, on reputation management, wrote several books on him. I go to Hawaii a lot with him. We're good friends, but I didn't just go up to him and say, hey, dude, let's be good friends and start going to Hawaii together. You know, I followed him on Twitter. I started becoming, you know, interested and genuinely trying to figure out who he was and what he did because he intrigued me. And anyway, we ended up becoming friends, and a lot of that stuff and a lot of good stuff has happened because of it. And I'm not saying you have to go to Hawaii with everyone that you are trying to, you know, find as an influencer. But the point is to not just, you know, don't annoy them with, hey, tweet my stuff. Hey, would you, you know, can I work with you and you can tweet our stuff, or how can, you know, do it a little bit more subtly. Okay. Follow them, retweet their stuff, help them get to know you before going in and just pitching them. You want them to know who you are before you even go in there and pitch to them. Be clear what you're going to ask them, what it is that you want them to do, what you want from them. Make sure you're doing it in a timely manner. Okay. For example, you know, I just put this out there with the holiday content, holiday season's coming up. I wanted to leave this site in here because of that, you know, 2 weeks prior to whatever holiday. Social ad buying. Okay, again, you know, this is a whole other topic of conversation, but it should be thought of. It should be included. You're creating this awesome visual content. Facebook is so cheap right now to get so much impressions. Then don't forget to SEO these visual campaigns. A lot of times people forget that, okay, this might be an image or it might be a video or whatever it might be, but they're not doing any kind of SEO to it. Okay, that's a big mistake. There's huge wins from that. And, you know, I've been noticing, and the reason I put this slide on there is because I've been noticing lately that, you know, it's no longer, I don't feel like it's an option. You know, like back in the day, a brand could say, I think I'll budget a little bit for SEO. Now it's more integrated. Like businesses know they have to have an SEO or an internet marketing budget. And it's that way with social. You know, I think forever it's people were like, oh, maybe, you know, I'll put some time in Instagram or this or that. But, you know, they're not going to succeed anymore. We're at that stage where if you don't have someone running social, you don't have the option to not be social anymore is the point. So if you do this with your visuals, you know, you're going to create, like it says right here, a brand that is going to rank well, that Google's going to give a lot of respect to. They're going to want to rank it. It's going to do what it needs to do for you. And so, you know, people want to be a part of your brand. They're going to want to be a part of your community when you do all this. And so when you've done that, you know, this is more of a positive of Chef Ramsay. I always have nightmares of him yelling at me, you know, but that's it, guys. I appreciate you sticking with me through that whole thing. You know, it took a little bit longer than I thought. Sorry, but we got 10 minutes or so for questions.
Absolutely. It's fantastic. Great, great job. I mean, I look at your, I know others have already commented on it, but visually, I mean, I've done probably 20 decks myself just for the training or for presentations this year. They look like they were done with a crayon blind by a blind person in a room with no light. compared to yours. So, I mean, really, I know that's, I'm sure, well, you hear that quite a bit, but that's the difference between having someone who's an actual visual artist as opposed to someone like me who barely passed college English. So that's probably the difference.
Well, I think that you can't go out there talking about, you know, how good of a job you have to do at creating visual content if your deck looks like it was created by a 2-year-old.
Exactly. Well, congratulations. That is not the case with your deck. So that's fantastic. So I know we've got some questions here. Let's go ahead and get into those. I know Keith has a good question here. I enjoyed that. What are the key ways you go about finding local influencers? You mentioned Matt, you know, again, you know, maybe you follow someone in your area. Maybe you've noticed, you've done a little competitive research. Do you have the client come in, hopefully, with some of that research themselves, or do you help them once you've got
I mean, it's a fantastic question. Hopefully they do have a little bit of that, you know, hopefully they've done a little bit of it, but if it's for social media, like finding an influencer on Twitter or Instagram, for example, it's probably, they're not going to have that information. So you're going to have to do a little bit of that on your own for them, or at least direct them. And one of the ways that I do it is, there's always ways to get, or to find the influencers, whether you're in a church group or whether you're in a scout group or whether you're in an athletic group, you know, find individuals, talk to people. There's always someone that can direct you to someone. There's high school kids, you know, like my daughter, for example, she's a great resource for me. I tell her, hey, you know, on Twitter or Instagram, like, what are, you know, who are some of the biggest influencers that you guys, that people are always talking about on Instagram or whatever. And, you know, or what are your, like, guys's trending hashtags, and, you know, what are you guys using the most, and this and that. And I always joke with her that I'm the one making money with social media, but she's the one that's teaching me how to actually do it, you know, for the kids these days. But so, I mean, just taking advantage of those kind of situations, like, you know, for example, like in our church group, you know, I happen to find, you know, that everyone, they're on social media. And if you just talk with people, mm-hmm. you know, you could see. Sometimes people even, you know, they see what you're doing, and, you know, I've had several people approach me and like, hey, you know, I do a little bit on Instagram and anyway, but, you know, just talking to, the right crowd, or, and again, I'm not saying that, as a 40-year-old man, you should go to the Queen Creek High or the whatever high school and exactly. go to the administration office and say, hey, can you round me up a group of 15, 16-year-olds so I could talk to them? You know, they're going to call the cops. You have to know how to do that. Exactly. There's a tactful way to do it. And I think just, you know, like taking advantage of your friends, of your kids' friends, of, you know, just those. And again, I can't think of all the scenarios, but everyone knows that if you just do a little bit of talking, a little bit of researching, or even just, you know, getting on the different, like Instagram, for example, you could go and find the school's Instagram account, and you could find the people that follow it. Then you could go through that list and you could find the people locally that are influencing. So if you see that there's one girl out there and, you know, she's posted that she's a junior or a senior or whatever, and she's got, you know, 5,000 followers and everyone else has, you know, 30 or 40, you can definitely know that she's the influencer of that group. Well, then she might be the one to approach, you know, see if you can send them direct messages. Say, hey, right. you work with any affiliates. I need to talk to your mom and dad. You know, how can we go about making this happen? And there's lots of ways to do it.
Now, you know, I think when we talk about, and again, that's great, the in-person, that you're talking more about the offline influencer marketing, which is very important. But let's talk about, are there any specific tools that you use there at Avalanche? For example, if we were doing influencer marketing here for myself or MediaWise, I might lose something like Follower Wonk or BuzzSumo.
Do you still use that or is it shut down? No, just kidding.
Yeah, there you go. I'm trying. I'm buying it. Did you not know that? I'm buying it. Yeah.
BuzzSumo definitely is one of the best ones. I don't know if anyone hasn't used it or done anything with it, but definitely BuzzSumo is probably the most used one for sure. Yeah.
I'm pasting over a link right now. I don't use Instagram a ton, but when I do, I use Websta.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, another good one.
Websta's pretty good, so you guys can check that out. I think you'll like that.
Something else, too, that might help a lot of these people because, I mean, there are literally – there's probably hundreds of tools on this that you and I haven't even heard of. And one of the guys that does a great job – I don't even know if you're familiar with Kevin Mullet.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, maybe you could share his information, put his name down, and they can Google his name and SlideShare. But he does presentations every year and he updates it every year, but he literally shares thousands upon thousands of different tools that are out there.
Right.
And so he would be one to look at if you're looking for building up more of a tool set. Now, there is a lot of stuff that we do internally, tools that we've built that we use, you know, that Avalanche developers have built, but it's not going to do you any good. So it's kind of hard for me to tell you exactly what we do and a lot of stuff that we use is internal.
Gotcha. Not a problem. Not a problem. Okay. So we pasted a couple of that over and then I've pasted Kevin's SlideShare channels. You guys can take a look at that. And again, Jack, as Matt said, a lot of the tools that they use internally are proprietary, so that won't help. What about someone like me who, again, has no visual knowledge? I tend to use a tool like Canva or something that helps me craft something that at least when I'm trying to do title slides, if I'm not hiring a freelancer to put a title slide together for me, I might go over and try to use Canva or some of these other kind of visual editing tools. Is there anything else out there that would help us non-artists make it, you know, put together visuals that look like they're built by an agency like Avalanche?
I'm going to say no.
Which is good for you. It's good for business. That's exactly the answer.
There are things, for example, like, when you're keeping it simple, because most of the time, if we're worried about budgets and we're a small mom and pop, you know, they have a budget of a couple $100 a month. They're not going to be able to afford an infographic anyway. And so, what they are going to be able to afford is like I bought it for 99 cents. It's on my phone. It's just called Meme Creator. It's on the iPhone.
I have it. I have that.
and it's creator. Super simple. And the thing is, like you think about, okay, well, it's just a meme, but like you create the right one at the right timing and you put it out there and you use this kind of stuff to start building a community. But when you put something out there, it could be like retweeted an insane amount of times or shared an insane amount of times. Like I did one of, in our industry, of Annie Cushing. and a thumbs down, and I just put the meme on it, and he doesn't approve. And it started showing up everywhere on people's decks, on people, like, people would use it when she was presenting, and she would, you know, she's giving me that stink eye. I know every time that someone uses it, but I know she secretly probably loves it. But, you know, it's, you know, when I created it, I just was funny because I was in a situation listening to her present, and she basically gave a thumbs down to this guy that was trying to say something completely stupid. And I took a picture of it, and I was just like, Annie doesn't approve. And it went crazy. So again, that's my industry. That's the search marketing industry. But think about like the kind of stuff that you could do with that simple type of content there. I mean, and then you do have there. I mean, you could get like Lightroom there, or like just different photo editing tools.
Sure. Yeah.
And they're, you know, fairly inexpensive. There's a lot of, you know, there's so many more apps being created these days too. It doesn't have to be, it doesn't have to break the bank, and you don't have to have Photoshop. But I know that someone had asked the question, like, you know, what we use. You know, we do use Illustrator. We do all the Adobe products. There's a lot of other product or projects that we do just with programming, just outright programming or HTML5 and stuff. So,
gotcha. How about, can you talk a little bit about how you help track these campaigns? Is there anything specific that you use, especially anything commercially available that those on the call might be able to use to track similar campaigns at their end?
Well, one of the best tools, like, again, just for the social side of it, and I don't know how many of you have, and I mentioned Andy Bill, and I already gave you the disclaimer that he's a friend, but I do use the tool too, but Tracker, it is a fantastic tool helping you keep track of mentions and things like that. Now, there's, as you know, with like tracking keywords or things like that, I mean, you know, it's there's so much that's subjective nowadays with personalized search or this or that. And so one of the things that I look into more than anything is just I monitor very specific terms that I know are related to those. And so when I start seeing the mentions come, then obviously you could set up certain goals and campaigns within your analytics, like a Google Analytics, for example, just using those tools. So there's lots of things like that. And then there's the tools like that Facebook gives you, or there's, if you haven't changed your Instagram accounts, if you're a business, if you haven't switched it over to the business and account, then you're missing out on some of those insights, if you will, or the analytics that they give you. Pinterest has amazing analytics. You know, a lot of the ideas that I have for content that I'm going to put out there come from the content pieces that I pay attention to from analytics on Pinterest, how well they did there.
Gotcha. Yeah. And so. Okay. Yeah. You know, that's fantastic. And we're going to do one more question here. I'm going to expand it a little bit. I know Keith's got a good one here. And his is, what's the process for coming up with shareable content? And I mean, again, that's the whole, that was the whole point of your presentation, was really talking about that. But if you could just do a quick kind of a three tips, you know, how would someone go about finding shareable content, knowing that, you know, maybe we're not going to mine the client for ideas. Maybe we know the client's in a specific niche. What would be a couple tips to kind of mine that niche for some shareable content ideas that they might be able to leverage?
So definitely, I mean, and again, it all goes back to having a really good ideation process. Okay. And what I mean by that is get on a whiteboard or a paper or whatever and start writing down just all the different ideas related to that specific topic. Like, what is it? Like, what's the goal of that specific company? Are we trying to sell are we trying to sell a blue widget? Are we trying to sell a red widget? What are all the keywords that are related to that? You know, let's start making a big brainstorm and a list of ideas or what could go along with that, and then start to figure out how we could make a story out of that, storyboard it, and then finding out, do we have good data that can back this? Do we have numbers, or is this funny, or is this something that is going to start a debate? Is something coming out related to this pretty soon? Like, if I'm a company that sells headphones, I would have been all over this whole Apple thing like months ago, or as soon as people found out, with the wireless headphone jacks, and creating all kinds of content around stuff like that. But basically, you know, there's paying attention, and again, more of a easier or low level, paying attention to the kind of questions that you're being asked. Okay. You could go to different answer sites, whether it be LinkedIn Answers or Yahoo Answers or Quora, or, you know, there's lots of different places for you to get answers, and see the kind of questions that are being asked, but also type in those keywords in Google, and Google Suggest, it'll pop down. It'll show you the most searched for things, like right now, what's going on. And so, you know, always putting in the keywords in that, just to give you some ideas, is super beneficial as well, as far as the type of content that you could create. But then, you know, making sure if you're going for like a big piece of content, you know, there has to be a reason. It has to fall into one of those categories. Like, is it, you know, evergreen content? Is it, you know, specific strategy? Is it answering that question, or, you know, is it a solution to something? Is it going to be something that's more shareable? Is it funny? Like, is that the purpose of it? Is it the purpose of it to help you convert, answer more? You know, is it on the site because you're using it not so much to be funny, but for actual conversion? You know, once you figure all that out and then you get your visuals in place, and if you have good data to back it up, that's, I don't know, hopefully that helps, but that's more of the process.
Absolutely. And I think that's great. And on that note, Matt, fantastic job, fantastic presentation, great takeaways. We really appreciate having you here. And, thanks so much. So on that note, for everyone on the call,
appreciate it.
Yeah, Matt, thank you so much. And for everyone on the call, again, take a look at the notes here. Make sure that you follow Matt on Twitter. Make sure that you take good notes here. We're going to have the presentation available for everyone live within, you know, the next couple hours pretty quickly. And can't say enough, Matt, really appreciate your time. And make sure you check him out at PubCon or one of the other conferences coming up in your neighborhood. Thanks again, Matt.
Bye-bye.
Talk to you again soon. All right, everyone. That was the, again, September masterclass. When we talk about visual marketing, you can know that there's something like 2 million blog posts shared every day. There's a lot of noise out there. This is your way of kind of helping stand out. And that's what we want to do, is provide you kind of the tools, kind of provide you from tips from someone who's doing it at an extremely high level, so that you can kind of see, I mean, just from the quality of Matt's deck here, just to let you guys know, I mean, Matt, this is the difference between taking your business for where you are to taking your business to the next level. It's understanding how important visual content is. So I hope you got a lot out of this. If you enjoyed it, make sure that you follow Matt on Twitter and let us know in feedback as well, and we'll express that. So on that note, we'll see you all next month. Enjoy your upcoming weekend. Take it easy, everyone.